How did you first get interested and involved with Chet Atkins music?
Well, at home in Arcadia, Louisiana, back in the late 50s and early 60s, my mother was a kind of an old-timey fiddler and everything, and so music was all a part of my family for a long time, and I played trumpet in the band. When I was in the 10th grade in high school, in the early 60s, one Sunday night, the Ed Sullivan Show came on. Ed Sullivan said, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Guitar, Chet Atkins," and the stage opened, and one stool and one person with one guitar, no drummer, no bass, no nothing, and more music came out of that than I could have possibly imagined. My father looked over and said, "Boy, if you could play guitar like that, I'd buy you one tomorrow." And I think that was the fall of the year, October, November, I got one for Christmas. And so my mother would take me to Stinson's Music Box in downtown Ruston and buy me the latest Chet Atkins record. And I would take those home and wear them out listening to them. So it's a lot of fun.
So were you the kind of artist who could listen to something and then learn how to play it from listening?
Absolutely not. I would give anything if I were. It was a struggle. I could to a degree, but not like some people can just hear those and just play them note for note. And I am not one of those. I play tunes for years, you know, working on them. But they came out with a guitar tablature, and that's kind of a written notation that's similar to regular music, but it's tablature for the guitar. It's got six lines rather than five, six lines for each of the strings on guitar, series of numbers tells you what fret to put your fingers on. And so I've learned a lot of the tunes note for note, just like Chet records, but I've learned them with the cheating using the tablature, you know, so it's been a lot of fun.
So this has really been a long time love affair for you, a love affair for,
really
for his music.
Yes. Absolutely.
What is it that you enjoy most about the Chet Atkins style, I guess?
Well, that's a great question. You know, when you heard Chet play, you would immediately know that it's him. And why is that? I think basically there were two reasons. One is the tone he got on those beautiful Gretsch guitars that he played was just so, and people say it's in his fingers. That tone comes from it's in his finger. He just makes the guitar sound that way through artistic way he played, you know. And then the other part of it is those beautiful Gretsch guitars just sounded so good, and he knew how to make and get tone out of that. The other thing, he used a thumb pick, and he used his fingers. So he would play a bass, boom, chick, boom, chick, boom, chick, with his thumb, and over that would play the melody with his fingers, and oftentimes included the harmony. So he had a bass, the melody, and harmony going all at the same time, and that's what I heard on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1963 or whenever. And so it just sounds like two guitars almost, you know, playing at the same time. It's really fascinating.
So you mentioned the Gretsch guitars that Atkins played on.
Yes.
Do you have any of those, and do you still play them?
I do, and I play them a lot. And by the way, this whole exhibit is made available through the Fred Gretsch Corporation. They're the ones that put up the money to make this exhibit possible. So we owe a debt of gratitude to them. But I have a 1965 Gretsch, vintage 1965 Gretsch that Chet autographed for me.
Do you play that one?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And then I have one of those beautiful single cutaway orange guitars with the gold pickups on it and everything that is a replica of probably 1960, 61 guitar. And then I have he switched in 1982 to Gibson guitars, and they started making that Chet Atkins Country Gentleman. It was called Country Gentleman Model Guitar with Gibson, and I have kind of a burgundy Gibson guitar that Chet autographed also, and it is absolutely beautiful, but it's a Gibson rather than a Gretsch. So from about 82 on, he played Gibson guitars, and I have one of those that he autographed too, so...
As you do performing in the Chet Atkins style, you mentioned the tone and the kind of
yes.
quality he was able to get that.
Yes.
How have you?
Can I get that? No.
Well, how have you grown closer to getting that? Maybe from when you first started.
Well, that's a good question. You know, you find great players when I go to the convention in Nashville, and you just watch and you get little secrets from them about how, you know, what do they put this dial on the amp on, and how much treble, how much bass, how much this. What What kind of strings do they use? What kind of thumb pick do they use? That can make a difference in the tone. Is the thumb pick thin or thick, and those kind of things. There's a lot of variations in it, and so you just kind of hone in on that Chet tone after a while when you're around those great players like I am up there, and it's fun to just try to emulate that great tone Chet got.
For a number of years, you've been a part of the Chet Atkins Convention up
Correct.
In Nashville.
In July.
And then this is kind of an added bonus to that.
Right. I guess about the last 11 years, I had developed this 35-millimeter slide presentation on Chet's life. Slide number one was when he was 6 months old. Slide number 70 was a picture that I had made of him just a few years before he died. And then all the other slides was everything in between, all of his live radio days. How did he get with Mother Maybelle Carter and the Carter family? How did he get to Nashville and be a producer and so forth? And so it's just been great fun, you know, learning that and putting that on. So I did that for 11 years at the Chet Atkins Convention in July.
So you've been putting on that presentation?
That presentation for 11 years at the Chet Convention at the Music City Sheraton in Nashville. They found out at the Country Music Hall of Fame with this 8-month emphasis on Chet that I had done that, and they called and asked if I would do the program that I'd been doing at the Chet Convention. Would I come over to the Country Music Hall of Fame and be a part of their programming emphasis on Chet during this 8-month period?
So we should mention we're taping this on Wednesday. By the time this program airs, you'll actually be up in Nashville.
I'll do a session for Nashville area teachers Friday morning. Saturday afternoon at 1:30 will be in Ford Theater of the Country Music Hall of Fame, and that will be for the general public.
So that one, really part of, you said an 8-month emphasis, really, because there's an exhibit, there's a permanent exhibit there.
Exactly, showing guitars, his main guitars that he played and recorded with, plus his famous Standale amp that all the Chet players relish. It was so beautiful, and it just played so well, and everything sounded so good. But they've got a lot more on exhibit now. I think they've got the recording equipment that he used and a lot of other things like that on exhibit at the same time. I do want to mention that Eddie Pennington, a great national fingerstyle champion, plus Ben, Eddie is from Kentucky, and Ben Hall is from Mississippi, who now works at the Hall of Fame, and they are going to play with me. So when I'm on stage doing my Chet presentation, when I get to a particular decade, I'll look over at one of them and say, Eddie is now going to play that tune live for you. So that's an added part to the program that's going to be really neat. Eddie Pennington and Ben Hall will be on stage with me.
As the performance looks at different aspects of his life and career, what would you say would be your favorite if you had to pick a certain time period of the music he created?
Oh, that's a great question, too. I would say the late 50s through the 1960s. He was into it. So that's when he used that famous Gretsch 1959 guitar and got that such beautiful tone. And he recorded such great albums during those 1960s. But at the same time, he was recording 25 simultaneous acts. You know, the Dolly Partons, Jim Reeves, Porter Wagoner, on and on and on, recording all of their music, Perry Como even, and on and on. But he was recording his albums as well. And that's just a very prolific time. And he was later in the 60s playing with the Hee Haw Band on Saturday night, you know, taping those shows with Roy Clark and Danny Davis and all that. So that probably is my most favorite period. Right there.
Certainly a tribute to him that's worth the input that certainly you and your other guests, Eddie Pennington and Ben Hall, certainly taking part in. Well, congratulations on having a chance to do something like this. It's quite obvious you enjoy it.
I feel honored to do it.
Dr. Richard Hood is the executive assistant to the president here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. He's performing this weekend as part of a special emphasis on Chet Atkins' life and career at the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville. Dr. Hood, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.